Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Y'all doing okay today? Good. Hey, I tell you, Thursday, Jan and I had just a little bit of time to kind of carve out and go do a couple errands. And last Friday, Jan's new Jeep got ran into in the parking lot, and the wonderful culture that we have today, no one reported it. They didn't even stop. So if you're listening to this broadcast, Jesus loves you, my friend. And so we had a little bit of time. We decided to go get that taken care of, dropped off, and we went to have breakfast. And I tell you what, one of our favorite places to go eat breakfast, Cracker Barrel, right? Who doesn't love Cracker Barrel? It's a great place. And we got to looking, and do you realize that vinyl records are coming back? What in the world has happened to our culture? Next thing you know, we're going to be in bell bottoms, and I mean, all kinds of weird things are coming back, right? What's wrong with that? I guess nothing if you're okay with that. I am too. But we were sitting down to eat, and we were sitting there talking, and you know how restaurants can be sometimes, and I realized that I was watching Jan talk to me, but I wasn't hearing any of the words coming out of her mouth. And I don't know, maybe I think I'm developing some hearing issues here. Guys, I know we have selective hearing, okay? I know we can tune things out that we want to, but I was really trying to listen to her, and all the background noise, it was just horrible. And I'm going to have to get my ears checked, I think. It's just going to have to happen. But she goes, we're sitting there, you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, sure, you just nod your head, right? And you get kind of that glazed over eye look, you know, where you think you heard what they were saying, and the next thing you know, you're off onto a different topic because, guys, you missed it completely. Romans chapter 6 kind of dives into that area. 6, 7, 8, and 9, we're going to be looking at that collectively, and then moving into Romans 10. And I want you to understand something here. There is a difference between listening and hearing, right? There's a huge difference. I don't know which one's better, but I think listening is probably better, right? Okay. So in chapter 6, Paul reiterates this idea that it's not... if we are truly dead to sin, then how can we live in that sin? And if you remember, he's talking about this struggle that the church in Romans is having with whether they follow the law or they follow grace and mercy. And Paul is saying here, and you'll see it in a little bit, that it's not just about one or the other. Paul truly opened my eyes as I was studying this, and I hope that you catch what I'm talking about today. In chapter 7, Paul goes on and he says the law has its rightful place. He says the law actually guides us. Without the law, I think Paul even uses in chapter 7, he says, how would I know what covetousness is, or that it's even wrong if I didn't have law? That's an interesting way to think about it. Right? If we didn't have signs posted and laws written about speed, how would we know it was ever wrong? Do we still know it's wrong? Okay, well, that's a question for another day. But here we are. Paul says the law has its rightful place in our life, but yet we follow Jesus. And then in chapter 8, he goes on in this life in the Spirit, and he says, look, remember that sin that we were dead to. He says, we're not living in it anymore. He says, the law had its rightful place. We're following Jesus with all of our heart. And he says, we have been set free from death and sin. And then on the heels of that in chapter 9, Paul uses this illustration. He says, God's choice is Jesus and you. God's choice, his ultimate choice, was not to establish more laws and more rituals and more things for you to do. Rather, he says, my choice is Jesus Christ and you. That's the key. I think we're going to kind of dive into Romans chapter 10 here. So if you'll turn there, look at chapter 10, verse 1 specifically, because Paul begins this transitional thought. He says, look, you know the law. You know how that's working for the Jews. You know the grace and how that's working for the Gentiles. And you guys can't get along with this idea that it's one or the other or both. And so he changes his thought process and he says, look, let's put it in these terms. He says, it is about a desire. It is about your heart's desire. He says, we're going to make it about prayer, about faith, and about being saved. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Look at verse 1. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. That's what they want. Paul draws this line and says, brothers, my heart's desire, my prayer is that you be changed. But he says it in a different way. He goes on and he says, it's about this heart faith. It's about belief. It's about drawing close to who God is and how he loves you. Secondly, he says you're justified by your heart. But he says one thing matters. In verse 10, skip on down to 10. Well, let's see, we'll go back to 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, there's the first one, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, secondly, you will be saved. In verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The end of 11, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Here's what Paul illustrates in that fact, in that statement. Greek or Jew, it does not matter. What matters the most? Remember last week we talked about what matters the most, and it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus in your life. He says, very first and foremost, he wants us to understand the desires of our heart, the way that that grows our faith, the way it enables us to pray and allow God to work in us and change the lives of others around us. Well, Romans 10:13. Secondly, I think that Paul does a great job of calling and simply saying, look, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the reality of it. He doesn't say, oh, the Greeks got it right, the Jews got it right. He doesn't say any church on earth has it right. He simply says, what matters is your individual heart's desire. Is it pounding, beating for Jesus Christ, or is it for something else? Paul lays it out. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Greek or Jew. But here's the reality of it. Calling on the Lord. I love the way he phrases that, because it's not about how many self-help studies we can do. It's not about us sitting back and saying, you know what, I got this, God. I can handle this. You ever have those little sections of your heart that you don't want to give away because you know that you want to hold on to that control of it? It's that one thing that Jesus wants you to lay down at the foot of the cross the most. It's that one thing that we hold on to, and it's like a baggage on our shoulders, and we carry it over and over and over again. We get to the point where we're so burdened and weighed down by that one thing on our shoulders, and we set it down, and we turn and walk away. We give it to God. But then what do? We tend to look back, and we go right back to it, and we pick it up, and we carry it all the more. That's the reality of our life. It's calling on the name of the Lord and looking back and saying, you know what, God, I still want that. Just a little bit. I see people all the time who struggle with addiction, and the reality is that they keep going back because that's their comfort zone. That's the baggage that they want to hold on to. And they struggle over and over and over again with setting it down and saying, I'm not going to pick it up again. And they go right back to it. We're the same way. Whatever it is that is in your heart, that one thing that I talked about, it is that one thing that we want to set down the most. It's that one thing that we want to give to Jesus that no one else knows about. Paul simply says, calling on the name of the Lord. But there has to be some sort of honesty to that calling. I think I said it last week, prayer. When we actually talk about prayer, we're talking probably about 30 seconds to a minute of your life. That's usually about how long people pray. But are we honest in our prayer? Are we honest with God and say, you know what, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the self-help studies and online researching and all of those things to change me and, you know, give me new focus and new direction. I want you, Jesus, in my life. And it's an honest look at ourselves. What does saved truly mean? What does saved truly mean? Is it just a belonging in a church? Is it that you're part of a congregation? Or are you part of the family of God? And then Paul goes on and he says, what about those who have never heard? Are they honestly liable for that? Well, Paul's answer is unique. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take off your shoes. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. It's all right. Think of your feet just for a moment. Okay? Think of feet. Paul calls them beautiful. Would you look at your feet and call them beautiful? No. It's kind of the last thing that you would think of as beautiful. But Paul does it. He calls them beautiful and he says, this is beauty. He says, look at your feet. Are they beautiful? Paul's using obviously figurative language here. When he draws this line, he says, figurative language of those who serve, of those who preach, of those who teach, of those who give of themselves. Saying it's a beautiful thing when God's people do what they're called to do. That's powerful. And so he says, regardless of what you think is right or wrong, as long as you have Jesus Christ moving in you, you're going to be led to have beautiful feet that actually lead people to changed lives. It's amazing. I love how he draws this conclusion to the very point where he's challenging them to do something different than what they did the day before. So, with that said, look at verse 17. How do we get faith? Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That hearing issue, I think we all have it sometimes. I think, you know, it's probably more selective than just guys tuning out. I think it's all of us have that ability to do selective hearing, because when faith comes from hearing, we pick and choose what we want to hear Christ say to us. Hearing the word of God, voices raised for Jesus in verse 18. He says, your words go to the end of the earth. That's how far your voice in Christ carries. I tell you this right now, I will never, ever have a problem hearing Tim. Right? I don't think any of us have a problem with that. It's this booming voice that just calls you to sing. And I love his singing. I love the way his voice carries. You see, voices raised for Jesus. Do your words go to the end of the earth? Here's how that happens. Ladies and gentlemen, we support missions. We have all kinds of things that we support, colleges, missionaries. We have all kinds of programs locally. We have all kinds of things that we do in our community to share the very voice of Christ with those who are hurting. But I often wonder, is it about us giving of our money or giving of ourselves? Because if faith truly comes from hearing, then we can't just write the check anymore. If hearing the word of God is the important puzzle or piece to the puzzle, what are we doing as Christians? And I truly think that it's time for us as a church to reevaluate our missions, to reevaluate our giving and the way that we serve in our communities. Once COVID is over, I've already told you that we're going to join with other local churches and we're going to be doing ministry opportunities in our communities. We're going to be working with others. You know what? They may not believe the same things that we believe. But you know what they're doing? Sharing the love of Christ. Sharing the very word of God, allowing people to hear that and being transformed in the renewing of their mind. That's the power that we have as the church, as the very body of Christ. Voices raised for Jesus, and those words going to the ends of the earth. How many of us have hearing issues? Several of us? Yeah. Okay. Every one of us? Okay. So, I'm going to have Ann come up early. We're going to do something a little bit different maybe than what you're comfortable with. Just bear with me. It's going to be something that's a little bit different maybe for you. But I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And here's where we're going with this. I think we all have that tendency to have hearing issues, that selective hearing. But in this quiet space, where our eyes are closed, and you have that voice, not my voice, you have that voice speaking to your heart today. Do you hear that still, small voice asking you to allow it to come in and grow that faith? Do you have that still small voice that says, what is your heart's desire? Is it that you be saved? Or is it just that you get another check mark for coming to church? Do you have that heart's desire for people's lives to truly be changed? What is your heart telling you today? I'm going to give you just a few moments of silence so that we might have the opportunity just to get rid of those hearing issues. And remember that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. How can you follow or listen to what God is telling you today? You can lift up your heads, open your eyes. Because I think that was enough time for God to share and challenge your heart's desire. So now that you know what it is, what is the action that we're willing to take to change it? To do what he's calling us to do? How can you follow or listen to what God is telling you to do today? Is it perhaps getting rid of that baggage that's in your life that's been holding you down, separating you, challenging you, forcing you to try and go all on your own, only to lay it down and pick it up again and lay it down and pick it up again? Is it maybe a time for you to shed some of the stumbling blocks that Paul talks about back in chapter 9. Those stumbling blocks can be almost anything in your life. Friends can even be stumbling blocks. But is your life leading to righteousness? Is it leading to faith? Or is it based on works? How can you follow and listen what God is calling you towards today? As we close today, I want to challenge you that whatever he's been telling you in your heart this morning and in these coming days, find a way to listen to that, find a way to carry that out, whether it's giving your life to Christ for the very first time, whether it's rededicating your life or placing membership in a local congregation where you can find brothers and sisters of like faith. Can challenge you to grow and develop your faith. What is your heart's desire today? And are you listening or just hearing? Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And today, Father, we challenge ourselves to be changed from this position of just hearing and doing to truly listening and following. Today, Father God, we know that you're speaking to our hearts. And we know that you love us. You sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And that as we move forward as a church, as we move forward as Christians individually, Father, we know this. That as we preach, as we teach, as we share, even just a cup of cold water, you call that beautiful feet. And we're walking in faith with you, and we are watching others call upon the name of the Lord and being saved. For that's what we truly want to see, your voice to the ends of the earth. Father, walk with us this week. Be with those who are struggling through this COVID. Be with those who are away from us today for whatever reason. We pray blessings upon them. And Father, we thank you for this time we have just to gather together in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.